Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 are our portion this evening. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for the reminder from your word even today that the children whom you have placed in the households of believers are set apart as holy, a covenant seed, a holy seed. And we pray, O God, that you would not allow us to try to grow them with wood, hay, and stubble, but that even now, as we come to this means that you have appointed, of your grace that you have proclaimed in your word and displayed in your sacraments, we ask that you would come by your Almighty Spirit and help us all as we hear, and especially the children, that their hearts might be fertile soil, and that you would cause them to take root in Christ and grow up strong in him and bear that fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, even as we pray for all of us who are here this evening under this word we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, these are God's words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The apostle began this letter, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. And among those saints whom he addresses, he specifically addresses children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, you are counted by God as saints. You are holy, set apart to him. He's the one who picked which parents you would have. He is the one who put you in a Christian home, just like the only way you can come to faith is if he loves you from before the world began, and he gives you that faith by the work of his Spirit. And all of these wonderful things, whether external things like putting you in a covenant home and setting you apart on the earth to himself, calling you saints, or these other things, works that he does in your heart, these are things that come with particular obligations. So children are counted saints. It's a great privilege, but it also is a great responsibility. So first, children are counted among the saints. Second, children are expected to be in worship. This was a letter that was sent to be read in the church, and this one and Colossians in particular are to be passed around, we find out later when we get to Colossians. It would be odd for him to address the children generally if they weren't expected to be there, or children specifically. In fact, I have had this uncomfortable awkwardness when I once was invited to preach in a church, and they had this habit or tradition, or I don't know what to call it, I've got some words that are probably from my flesh, to call it, of sending the children out before the word of God was preached. And I was accustomed to trying to make application to all the different kinds of roles and walks of life and places that people find themselves in, because the Lord addresses all of his saints generally and then also specifically at different times. And at one point in the sermon, I said, "Children!" And I looked around, and I think I had two or three at the time, and I smiled at them because we didn't let them go. But then I had to say something like, "I mean, I guess you'll have to tell your children." And that was awkward. And I hope at least instructive and not so offensive that no light came with the heat. But the apostle is addressing the children of Ephesus. He's assuming they're going to be in the worship. He's assuming their moms and dads have taught them that the sermons are for them too. "You're going to worship our great God by singing now. We're going to worship our great God by praying now. Pray. Shh. Pray. We're going to worship our great God by hearing preaching now. Look down the row. Give your eyes." Because we know wherever the eyes are aimed, the ears are at the outside, and they've got that wonderful stereoscopic audio gathering capability. Children, you're expected to be in the worship of God. The apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, addressed children particularly. Because the preaching is for you too. Because the preaching is a means of grace. You hear that phrase a lot. What does that mean? It means it's a tool by which God works in his people by his grace. He calls you saints, and here is a tool by which he works in you. The reason preaching is for you is because Jesus is for you. And God's grace is for you in Jesus Christ. And preaching is the way, one of the ways, and the great, the chief among them, the one that is most often named. Preaching is the way God gives you his grace. Jesus is for you. Preaching, his worship, is for you. Children must obey their parents. That's pretty obvious. Children, obey your parents. Not just when it sounds good to you. "Children, come for supper." Easy one to obey, right? Everything in you says, "Yes, come for supper." But do not listen to the world that says, "Follow your heart." Because most of the time when mommy or daddy tells you to do something, your heart is going to say, "I don't want to. In fact, I didn't even know I didn't want to until they told me to." So if you follow your heart, what shall we do, heart? Your heart will say, "Sin. Disobey." Jesus says, "Obey." Churches are full of people who want to know the will of God. It's a good thing to want to know the will of God. For children, it's often a very simple thing. Mommy just said it, and it became the will of God. It's not difficult to figure out what God wants you to do when mom says, "Wash your hands." Nope, longer. With soap. Children must obey their parents. In fact, the verb means to hear as someone who is under. So that means children have to pay attention. "I didn't hear you" is not a good excuse. The Greek verb here that in which God tells you to obey your parents actually has within it the command to hear them. So, if you didn't hear her, if you didn't hear your daddy, get better hearing as part of obeying Ephesians 6 verse 1. Really and truly. Now, children are expected to care about and depend upon and glorify the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You say, "It's so hard." Yes, it is. You are agreeing with the entire Bible. And that's why he gives you the grace of Christ. Just like we were talking about for one kind of sin in the sermon, the no is not in you, but it is in Jesus. So trust in him and say no to that sin. Obeying mommy and daddy is not in you, but it is in Jesus. So trust in Jesus and by his grace, obey mommy and daddy for his glory. Children are actually expected to care about what is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Many children's favorite question, why? 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 Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children of Christian parents set aside in Christian homes who know that they belong to the Lord Jesus and that they should worship him just like all of his creatures should worship him, and that his preaching is for them because his grace is for them, and that the only way that they can obey is by grace, which I hope is you children. We're this far into verse 1. They're expected to care about what's right. The fact that it is right should matter to you. When something is wrong, that should matter to you. You should not, when you find out something is wrong, come up with arguments for why you should do it anyway. Sometimes middling to tween to maybe a little bit older Christian children are some of the most sophisticated theologians in the church, because they are very quick at using all of these forms of argumentation that they are learning to justify doing what I wanted to do anyway. No. Christian children should care about what's right. The fact that it's right should be something that motivates you to do it. Christian children are expected to obey from the heart. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Isn't Paul doing there what we've been studying about in the fourth commandment, that keeping the Lord's day isn't just not doing a certain set of activities so that you can do another set of activities, but it's actually something that requires a treasuring of God and counting him holy and counting his worship holy and counting the day that is set apart as holy for the activity that is set apart as holy for the worship and desiring that from the heart? Well, when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and your mother, he's doing the same thing, isn't he? He's saying, it's not just do the actions that are described by the syllables that proceeded from your mother's lips. Saying, love your mother. Want to make her glad and give her honor. The way that Proverbs, over and over again, when it says not to do something, it warns you that that will make a grief for your mom and your dad. And when it wants to set something before you, it tells you what kinds of things gladden a father or mother or bring honor to them. You're to obey from the heart. Right away, all the way, and cheerfully. That's an honoring kind of obedience. We had a bunch of additions to that. Right away, all the way, cheerfully, every time, even when mom's not looking, can't even. But you get the idea. There's honor commanded here, not just obedience. And children are expected to care about God's commandments. Notice that it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which you should do, because love is the only thing left. And love makes you want to honor your father and mother. Well, it's true. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, and, you know, got too many neighbors nearer than dad and mom. And it is telling you to love dad and mom by honoring them. But look at what he says here in verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now I'm going to ask a question. And all the kids will know, because we're very kind of expressive in how we ask these questions. Was the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit a legalist? Of course not. But he uses this commandment word. The commandments are still obligatory upon believers. Paul didn't make a theological mistake in instructing the children of the congregation in Ephesus. We are expected, you are expected to care about what is right, and you are expected to define what is right by the commandments of God in the Bible. You're expected to prioritize your obedience to your parents above all things. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Well, we got some problems here. Because if he's not referring to the ten, we've already seen God promise certain things in connection with other commandments that he's given Abraham and so forth. But if he's talking about the ten, how many other commandments have a promise? Well, the second commandment kind of looks like it's got a promise, although it doesn't necessarily hold that out maybe in the same exact words. But if we're just talking exactly so that it may and so forth, it's the only commandment with a promise. Why would he say it this way? Well, because for believing children, this is the primary commandment that operates in your life. You learn to keep all the other commandments from this one. That's how it goes well with you in the land. God actually said that about lots of the things that he told the Israelites, that he was setting before them a way of life and a way of death. And the way of life was do all of these things that I have commanded you. And the way of death was reject all these things that I have commanded you. Do you know where believing children learn the first school they have in the keeping of all the other commandments? Mommy and daddy told them so. Mommy and daddy took them to church. Mommy and daddy got them baptized. Mommy and daddy had them do everything. You know, that's why Jesus had to have godly parents. I mean, Jesus came from Judah and Tamar, but God gave him as his parents Joseph and Mary. Why? Because Jesus was not going to miraculously circumcise himself the eighth day or come in after 2 weeks and give the redemption offering for the firstborn son or carry himself up to Jerusalem 3 times a year for the feasts. You see how important it was for the Lord Jesus Christ to have godly parents? And as he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men, and as he learned obedience as a son, which is, I know, for me too, still, after all the theology I've learned, it's amazing to think of God the Son learning and growing. But one of the ways that Jesus grew, not in keeping the, not from failing to keep the commandments to keeping the commandments, but as he learned the keeping of the commandments from the heart, he was righteous. I understand all that. But a lot of it was by Joseph and Mary telling him what to do, leading him in doing those things. And Christian children of godly parents get to have that in common with Jesus. Obeying your parents and honoring your father and mother is the school in which you learn to follow all the rest of the commandments of God. Children should also, of course, expect God to bless them. Because if you are being given this ability to obey by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, children, obey your parents in the Lord, then you should expect that he is going to add to you the blessing that also comes by his grace along with the obedience, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Notice that the promise has been broadened. It's not just the tract of land that was once called Canaan. Now it's the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells forever and ever. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That doesn't mean the promise has been canceled. It just means it has been swallowed up as the blessedness that has been promised has increased and increased. And you can look to the God who has given you this commandment and know that in Jesus, this promise and all of his promises have their yes and their amen. And you should expect God to bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for addressing our children. So often we don't know what to say to them. We're afraid that we're saying the wrong things. And so we thank you for giving us an example of what you say to them, so that we can follow that example with this commandment and with all your other good commandments. Lord, we pray for those of us who are either never have been given children or are beyond the season of having the children in our homes. Thank you for the reminder that the children with whom you surround us week by week are your children in your Son, our Lord. And we pray that you would grant to us also that part as their brother and sister in the congregation that you have appointed to us for growing them in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Indeed, we confess that we are all your children. And we ask that you would make us to honor you, our Father, that we would be like our elder brother, the Lord Jesus, who desires above all that you would get glory, and therefore who follow everything you have given us to do as well as we can by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the help of your same Spirit who sustained him in his humanity and upon whom we depend in ours. For we ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.